Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, if you would please open your Bibles to Job chapters 1 and 2. We've been studying this book now for a few sessions, and in Job 1 and 2, we saw some really bad things happen to Job. Here's this enormously successful man. He's got everything going for him. Wonderful family, wonderful wealth, wonderful position in the community. It's all looking good. And better than all that was the fact that he had a wonderful faith in God. And he sought to do God's will and to honor the Lord in everything. And lo and behold, suddenly, disaster after disaster after disaster after disaster. What in the world is going on? Well, you know what's going on. Job didn't. As we said the first time, Job had never read the book of Job. Okay? So all these catastrophes strike him, and he's going to spend the majority of the book wondering, what is going on? Why is this happening? But we're given some insight. Chapter 1, verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered, "The Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Satan responds, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Disaster. Disaster strikes. How horrible. Chapter 2. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his own life." And so the Lord says in verse 6, "Very well then, he's in your hands, but you must spare his life." Now we know what's going on. Now we understand where the boils came from. We understand where all the catastrophe came from. But I want you to notice, Satan could only do what the Lord permitted. As we've said now in the first two sessions, quoting from something where Johnny Erickson Tata is quoting from someone else, God allows what he hates in order to accomplish what he loves. Now, today's main point is this. Much of reality is outside our understanding. Much of reality is outside our understanding. We just don't see it. I was talking with Mr. Mike before the service about where dust bunnies come from. Where does all the dust come from? Do you realize that most of the dust in most places is from dead skin cells? Ooh, well, it's true. I mean, you may not like it, but that's reality. All that stuff that has to be continuously wiped up, that came off your body and the bodies of those around you. Okay? And believe me, it's a good thing. Because if you didn't shed skin cells, you would have really gross skin. Okay? You need to get rid of the old so the new can take its place. But there's so much of reality that we don't see. But what Job gives us insight regarding is that there is a whole unseen spirit realm. Ephesians 2, I'm going to turn there. You don't have to, but you can. Ephesians 2 tells us that all of us were dead in trespasses and sins and until God made us alive in Christ Jesus. And it describes it as not only being spiritually dead, but being animated by the forces of darkness. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Spirit is at work in those who are disobedient. An evil spirit is. There is an evil kingdom. Kingdom means there's authority. There's an evil kingdom that all of us were a part of when we were spiritually dead and animated by the forces of darkness. That's why, that's Ephesians 2, that's why in Ephesians 6, we are reminded that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness, and against spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. That's Ephesians 6:10 and following. That's why we're told we need to put on the full armor of God. There is a war on, and the forces of darkness, even though we don't see them with our eyes, are very, very real. Do I need to be worried? If you don't know Jesus, you need to be worried. You ought to be scared to death if you don't know Jesus. But if you know Jesus, you don't have to be worried. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God Almighty has taken up residence in you. So you may get bombarded by the enemy, that's what Ephesians 6 is talking about, but you can stand armed with the armor of God, and all the pieces of the armor are found in Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is our salvation. All of that is in him. That's why we're told here, put on the full armor of God, told elsewhere, put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, in 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, we're reminded that for those who are not in Christ, it's a bad situation. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. That's God's word. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We also know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. And then the very next phrase, which is the very last phrase in this letter from John, says, "Dear children, keep yourself from idols." What a peculiar thing to say. No. Idols fill this world. The world is under the grip of the enemy. And idols are a problem. Why? Because the Bible tells us that even though an idol, like a little statue, in and of itself is nothing, there are demons behind the idol. Make a note of some scriptures to go back and study. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, and then chapter 10, verses 14 through 22. There are demons behind the idols. My experience, limited though it may be, with poisonous snakes, is that sometimes they will come out and sun themselves on the rock because they're cold-blooded and they really like the sun, like to get warmed up. But a lot of the time, when they're not out sunning themselves or moving from one place to another, they will hide themselves behind something. You do not want to think that because that bush can't hurt you, that there isn't anything under the bush that could. My wife got bitten by a copperhead up at our house a number of years ago because there was one weed growing at the bottom of the stairs between the stairs and the driveway. And she went over to pluck that weed. And a mama copperhead decided that that was too close for comfort and bit my wife in the hand. And her hand became huge and her arm became as big around as her leg. Pastor Wood, I'm going to have nightmares. I'm sorry. Well, let me just tell you, a copperhead is no fun, but it is nothing compared to the powers of darkness. Demons are real. They are smart. They know information about you and about your family and about your friends. And they are powerful. And they use lies in order to gain influence in your life. They will try and deceive you. Satan is a liar and the father of lies, Jesus said. But, Pastor, you said greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Yes, I did. Let's talk for a moment about how much greater. God doesn't just have more power than the enemy. He has all power. And what we see in this story in Job is that Satan could indeed wreak havoc in Job's life, but only to the extent that God gave permission. He couldn't do anything apart from God allowing it. Only when God said, okay, you may do this and no more. Okay, you may do this and no more. The scope of Satan's ability to operate was limited by God's decree. Well, why do you let him do anything? I don't know. What was our main point today? Much of reality is outside our understanding. You see, the book of Job doesn't explain why God let the devil do that. It simply tells us that God let him do it. Well, I feel that I deserve an explanation. Well, then you're living in a fantasy world. God's already got a universe that he runs. You're going to have to go find your own. You're going to get a transfer to another universe? I don't like the way things are going. Well, I don't either. And you know what? Sometimes God doesn't either. Well, then why did he allow it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I have read this book, not just Job, the Bible, cover to cover, over and over, and there are a lot of things that it is explained, but there are some things that is not explained. I don't understand. But you know what is more mysterious to me than the problem of evil, the fact that God allows stuff that is evil? You know what's more amazing to me than that, more mysterious? Is that God loves me. That blows my mind. Why would he choose to save a wretch like me? He didn't have to. He didn't owe me something. I could never earn his love. I could never earn salvation. He chose to give me salvation. Why? I think it's because when I was a child, I was very cute. No. I was cute, but that's not the reason. God doesn't do this based on something in us. It is God's grace by which we're saved. And he deliberately chose the ones that the world would not choose. Okay. So, the nature of salvation is that God rescues us from the kingdom of darkness. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says that he rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Ephesians 1 talks about the fact we were in that kingdom and God saved us by his grace. We were spiritually dead. He made us alive. Colossians 1 says he rescued us from that kingdom where we were controlled by the forces of darkness. And he brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, what if you don't believe in angels and demons? Well, what if you don't believe in gravity? Gravity is real whether you believe in it or not. What we believe does not determine what's real. But there's a whole lot of stuff that's real that we don't even see, that we don't think about, that we don't understand, because we're not God. However, God is God, and he knows all things, and he has all power, and he is absolutely perfect. So, are angels real? Yeah, how do we know it? Well, because God says so, and I could tell you stories about times when angels have turned up in my life, as well as in the lives of others. But if I'd never had an experience like that, it would still be true because God says so. And God only tells the truth. Demons are real. I've seen their work as well. Do they ever cause physical illness? Yes, absolutely. Sometimes. So if a person has a physical illness, is that demonic? Not necessarily. But it can be. Yes. Absolutely. Satan afflicts people in various ways. As you read the Gospels, you see people who were set free from demonic powers that had affected them physically. In Luke 13, 10 through 17, you've got a woman who Jesus says was bound by Satan for years, and he set her free. In Mark 9, 25 and following, a deaf man is released from the power of a demon that made him deaf and unable to speak. So I need to consider the possibility that maybe there's demonic activity if there's illness. Well, yeah, you also need to consider that it might be a brain tumor, okay? Now I don't know what to do. Well, I would suggest that you pray, talk with God, and consult your doctor, okay? I asked a psychiatrist once, under what circumstances would you consider the possibility that a person's illness was caused by the demonic? He was a Christian psychiatrist. He said, only if I couldn't come up with a physiological or a psychological explanation for it. And I said, as you read the New Testament, are there any examples of a person in the New Testament for whom you would not have a physiological or a psychological explanation? And he said, no. I appreciated his honesty. But the fact of the matter is, in our modern society, even evangelical Christians have generally decided that we're not going to deal with what the Bible describes as real. We would rather attribute everything to physiological and psychological conditions and ignore the scary possibility that there might be demonic involvement. Now remember, Satan's a judo expert. If he can't get you just to live and think as if he didn't exist, he will try to get you fascinated with him so that now you see demons everywhere. Everything becomes a spiritual dynamic. What he doesn't want is for you to take a biblical approach and see that sometimes there's demonic involvement and sometimes it's something else. Well, what should we do? I am so glad I don't have to run the universe. I don't even have to run your life. What I need to do is obey the Lord. I don't know what he wants me to do. Ask him. Well, I asked him and he didn't tell me. Well, are you doing what he already told you? Oh, what did he tell me? Do you know something I don't know? Perhaps. Let me give you a little list to start with. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Are you doing that? What was that list again? Rejoice always. Oh, no, I'm not always rejoicing. Well, work on it. Okay. Pray constantly. Constantly? Yes, be in an attitude of prayer. And give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all things. Well, I'm not thankful for this. Well, thank God that he is good and that you're not in control of the universe. There is much of reality that is outside our understanding. But the Bible gives us glimpses of the fact that in that unseen spirit realm, there are hostile, destructive forces at work and a sovereign, loving God who rules over all. That sovereign, loving God with infinite power reaches out to you in Jesus Christ and says, trust me. Yield your life to me. I will never leave you or forsake you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.